The following is a free-for-download audiobook from the website krishnapath.org. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 20. The Mayavadi Philosophers Are Converted. It is concluded that Lord Krishna, or Vishnu, is not of this material world, but that he belongs to the spiritual world. Anyone considering him as one of the demigods of the material world is a great offender. This is called blasphemy. Lord Vishnu is therefore not subject to perception by the material senses, and neither can he be realized by mental speculation. There is no difference between the body and soul of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. In the material world, there is always a difference between the body and soul. Anything material is enjoyed by the living entities because the living entities are superior in nature, whereas the material nature is of an inferior quality. Therefore, the superior quality of nature, the living entities, can enjoy the inferior quality of nature, matter. Because Lord Vishnu is in no way touched by matter, he is not subject to the enjoyment of the living entities. The living entities cannot gain knowledge of Vishnu by enjoying their mental speculative habits. The infinitesimal living entities are not, therefore, the enjoyers of Vishnu, but they are enjoyed by Lord Vishnu. If somebody thinks that Vishnu is enjoyable, then he is the greatest offender. The greatest act of blasphemy is to consider Vishnu and the living entity on the same level. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is compared with the blazing fire, whereas the innumerable living entities are compared with sparks emanating from the blazing fire. So although both of them are fire in quality, yet there is the distinction that Vishnu, the Supreme, is infinite, whereas the living entities, which are sparks, are infinitesimal. The infinitesimal living entities are emanations from the original infinite spirit. In other words, in their constitutional position as infinitesimal spirits, there is no trace of matter. The living entities are not as great as Narayan, Vishnu, who is beyond the creation of this material world. This is even accepted by Shankaracharya, that Narayan is beyond this material creation. So neither Vishnu nor the living entity are of the material creation. Somebody may then inquire, why were such small particles of spirit created at all? The answer is that the completeness of perfection of the Supreme Absolute Truth is possible when he is both infinite and infinitesimal. If he is simply infinite and is not infinitesimal, then he is not perfect. The infinite portion is the Vishnu Tattva, or the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead, and the infinitesimal portion is the living entity. By the infinite desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is the existence of the spiritual world, and by the infinitesimal desires of the living entities, there is this material world. When the infinitesimal living entities are engaged in their infinitesimal desires for material enjoyment, they are called Jiva Shakti. But when they are dovetailed with the infinite, they are called liberated souls. There is no question, therefore, as to why God created the infinitesimal portions. It is the complementary and supplementary side of the Supreme. It is essential, without any doubts, that the infinite must have the infinitesimal portions. They are inseparable parts and parcels of the soul. And because they are infinitesimal parts and parcels of the Supreme, there is a reciprocation of feelings between the infinite and the infinitesimal. Had there been no infinitesimal living entities, then of course the Supreme Lord would have been inactive, and there would have not been any variegatedness in spiritual life. As there is no meaning of a king if there is no subject, therefore there is no meaning of the Supreme God if there are no infinitesimal living entities. There would have been no meaning to the word Lord if there were none to overlord. The conclusion is that the living entities are counted as expansions of the energy of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the energetic. In all the Vedic literature, such as Bhagavad Gita and Vishnu Purana, there is innumerable evidence for this distinction between the energy and the energetic. In Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter 5th verse, it is clearly stated that earth, water, fire, air, and sky are five principal gross elements of the material world. Mind, intelligence, and false ego are elements of the subtle matter. The whole material nature is considered to be divided into these eight elements, which are the inferior quality of nature. Another name for this inferior quality of nature is Maya, or illusion. Beyond these eight kinds of inferior nature, there is another superior quality of nature, which is called Paraprakriti. That Paraprakriti is the living entity, and the entities are found all over this material world. The purport is that the Supreme Lord is the Absolute Truth, the energetic, and that He has energy also. That energy, when not properly manifested or when covered by some shadow, is called Maya Shakti. The cosmic manifestation is a product of that covered Maya Shakti. The living entities are factually beyond this covered inferior energy. The living entities have their pure spiritual existence and their pure identity, and they have their pure mental activities, and all of them are beyond manifestation of this cosmic world. The living entity, his mind, his intelligence, and his identity are beyond the range of this material world, but when he enters into this material world by his desire to lord it over matter, then his original mind, intelligence, and body become covered by the material energy. When he is again uncovered from these material or inferior energies, he is called liberated, and when he is liberated, he has no false ego, but his real ego comes again into existence. Foolish mental speculators think that after liberation, even the identity is lost, but that is not so. Because we are eternally part and parcel, the living entity, when liberated, revives his original, eternal, part and parcel identity. Aham Brahmasmi, I am not this body, does not mean that I lose my identity. At the present moment, I say that I am matter, but in my liberated state, I will understand that I am not matter, I am spirit soul, as part of the infinite. So to become Krishna conscious or spiritually conscious is to be engaged in this loving transcendental service of Krishna, is the sign of the liberated stage. In the Vishnu Purana, 6th chapter, 7th verse, it is very nicely and clearly stated, quote, "The energy of the Supreme Lord is divided into three, para, chaitragya, and avidya. Para energy is actually the energy of the Supreme Lord. The chaitragya energy is called the living entities, and the avidya energy is called this material world, or maya. It is called avidya, or ignorance, because under the spell of this material energy, one forgets his actual position and his relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is concluded, therefore, that the living entities represent one of the energies of the Supreme Lord. Such an infinitesimal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord is called jiva. If the jiva is artificially put onto the same level as with the infinite Supreme, because both of them are Brahman, or spirit, that will certainly lead to bewilderment. The Mayavadi philosophers are perplexed before a learned Vaishnav philosopher because the Mayavadi cannot explain the cause of bondage of the living entities. They simply say, quote, "It is out of ignorance," end quote, but they cannot explain why the Supreme is covered by this ignorance. The actual solution is that the living entities, although qualitatively one with the Supreme, are infinitesimal and not infinite. Had they been infinite, there would have not been any possibility of being covered by ignorance. But because the living entities are infinitesimal, they are covered by another, an inferior energy. We can see their foolishness and ignorance when they try to explain that the infinite is covered by ignorance. It is an offensive attempt to qualify the infinite as subject to the spell of ignorance. Sankara, although he attempted to cover the Supreme Lord by his Mayavadi philosophy, was doing so only by the order of the Supreme Lord. It is to be understood that his teaching was a timely necessity, but not a permanent fact. In the Vedanta Sutra, this distinction between energy and the energetic is accepted from the very beginning. In that Brahma, or Vedanta Sutra, the first aphorism, Janmadyasya, is a clear explanation of that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the origin or source of all emanation. Therefore, the emanations are his energy, whereas he is the energetic. Shankara has falsely put his argument in this way, that if the transformation of energy is accepted, then the Supreme Absolute cannot remain immutable. But that is not true. In spite of unlimited energy being generated, why not accept that the Supreme Absolute Truth remains always the same, even though there is the emanation of unlimited energies from him? Shankaracharya has therefore incorrectly and wrongly established the theory of illusion. In this connection, Ramanujacharya has discussed the point very nicely as follows, quote, "If you argue that before the creation of this material world there was only one absolute truth, then how is it possible that the living entity emanated from him? If he was alone, how could he produce or generate the infinitesimal living entities?" End quote. In reference to this question, the Vedas state that everything is emanated from the Absolute Truth, everything is being maintained by the Absolute Truth, and after annihilation, everything enters into him. From this statement of the Upanishads, it is clear that the living entities enter into the supreme existence in their liberated state without changing their original constitutional position of activity. We must always remember that the Supreme Lord has his creative function, and similarly, the infinitesimal living entities also have creative function. When they are liberated and enter into the Supreme after the dissolution of this material body, their creation function is not lost. On the contrary, the creative function of the living entity becomes properly manifested in the liberated stage. If the living entity's activities are definitely manifested when he is in this material condition, then how is it possible that when he is in his liberated spiritual stage, his activities can be stopped? Entering is therefore understood in the sense that when a bird enters into the trees, the animals enter into the forest, or the flying vehicle enters into the sky. While explaining code number 1 of the first chapter of Vedanta Sutra, Shankara has most unceremoniously tried to explain that Brahman, or the Supreme Absolute Truth, is impersonal. Similarly, he has tried to twist most cunningly the doctrine of byproduct into the doctrine of change. Actually, there is no change of state for the Supreme Absolute. It is simply by his inconceivable power of doing things that there comes a byproduct. A relative truth produced out of another truth is called the transformation of a byproduct. For example, when a sitting chair is produced out of crude wood, it is the transformation of a byproduct. Similarly, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahman, is immutable, and when we find a byproduct, the living entity of this cosmic manifestation, it is called a transformation of that byproduct of the Supreme. Another example can be cited in this connection, that of milk and yogurt. Yogurt is a transformation of milk. In this way, if we study the living entities and the cosmic manifestation, it will appear that they are not different from the original Absolute Truth. But from the Vedic literature, we understand that the Absolute Truth has various multiforms of energy, and therefore the living entities and the cosmic manifestation are only a demonstration of his various energies. As energies are non-separable from the energetic, therefore this transformation of the living entity and the cosmic manifestation is an inseparable truth which is part of the same Absolute Truth. Such a conclusion about the Absolute Truth and the relative truth should not be unacceptable to any sane man. The Supreme Absolute Truth has his inconceivable potency, and out of that potential energy, this cosmic manifestation has been affected. In other words, the Supreme Absolute Truth is the ingredient, and the living entity and the cosmic manifestation are byproducts. In the Tathatriya Upanishad, it is clearly stated, "Yato va imani bhutani jayante," This clearly states that the absolute truth is the original reservoir of all ingredients, and this material world of the living entity is produced by out of those ingredients. Less intelligent persons who cannot understand the doctrine of byproducts cannot grasp how this cosmic manifestation and the living entity are simultaneously one and different from the supreme absolute truth. Without understanding this truth, if, out of unnecessary fear, one concludes that this cosmic manifestation and the living entity are false, by putting forward the example of mistaking a rope for a snake, as Shankaracharya does, or mistaking the oyster shell for gold, surely that sort of argument is simply cheating. The examples of mistaking a rope for a snake or oyster shell for gold, mentioned in the Mandukya Upanishad, have their different applications and can be understood as follows. The living entity in his original constitution is pure spirit. And when a human being identifies himself with this material body, it is a case of accepting the rope as a snake or the oyster shell as gold. The doctrine of transformation of state is accepted when one thing is mistaken for another. Actually, the body is not the living entity, and to accept the body as the living entity is the doctrine of transformation of state. Every conditioned soul is undoubtedly contaminated by this doctrine of transformation of state. The conditional state of the living entity is a diseased condition. Originally, the living entity and the original cause of this cosmic manifestation are certainly not in this state of transformation, but mistaken thoughts and arguments can overcome a person when he forgets about the inconceivable energies and activities of the Supreme Lord. Even in the material world, there are many examples. The sun is producing unlimited energies from time immemorial, and so many byproducts result from the sun. Yet, there is no change in the heat and temperature of the sun itself. If the sun can maintain itself in its original state of temperature, although it is a material product in spite of producing so many byproducts, that it is very difficult to understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth, in spite of his producing so many byproducts by his inconceivable energy, has not changed at all. Therefore, there is no question of the transformation of his state. It is learned from the Vedic literature that there is a material product which is called touchskaton, which simply by touch can transform iron into gold. The touchstone can produce an unlimited quantity of gold, and still the touchstone itself does not change its state. Therefore, to suppose that this cosmic manifestation and the living entities are false or illusory, as advocated by the Mayavadi philosopher, is ignorance. No sane man should impose ignorance and illusion upon the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is absolute in everything. There is no possibility of change or ignorance or illusion with him. Supreme Brahman is transcendental and completely different from any sort of material conception. Therefore, in the Supreme Absolute Truth, there is every possibility of inconceivable potential energy. In the Shweta Shatara Upanishad, it is stated that the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead is full of inconceivable energies, and no one else has such energy. By the misunderstanding of such inconceivable energies of the Supreme, one may conclude that the Supreme Absolute Truth is impersonal, but this is false. Such a conclusion is only a delusion experienced by a living entity when he is in an acute stage of disease. In Srimad Bhagavatam also there are statements that the Supreme Atma, or the Lord, has got inconceivable, innumerable potencies. In the Brahma Samhita it is also stated that in the Supreme Spirit there are many variegated inconceivable energies. In the Absolute Truth, there is no possibility of ignorance. Ignorance and knowledge are conceptions of this world of duality, but in the Absolute there cannot be any ignorance. Therefore, it is simply foolishness to consider that the Absolute becomes covered by ignorance. If the Absolute Truth has the possibility of ignorance, how can it be said to be absolute? Understanding the inconceivable energy of the Absolute is the only solution to the question of duality. In other words, the inconceivable energy of the Absolute is the cause of the doctrine of duality. By such inconceivable energy, the Supreme Absolute Truth, without being changed, can produce the cosmic manifestation and the living entities, just as the touchstone can produce unlimited quantities of gold without being changed. Because the Absolute Truth has such inconceivable energy, the material quality of covering by ignorance cannot be applied to the Absolute Truth. True variegatedness in the Absolute Truth is therefore a product of that inconceivable energy. It can be safely concluded that this material manifestation is the byproduct of that inconceivable energy, and when we accept the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Lord, then there is no duality at all. The expansion of the energy of the Supreme Lord is as true as the Supreme Lord. In the manifestation of the Supreme Energy, there is no question of transformation of state. The same example of the touchstone can be cited again, that in spite of producing unlimited quantities of gold, the touchstone remains the same. We hear, therefore, some sages say that the Supreme is the ingredient or cause of this cosmic manifestation. The example of accepting the rope as the snake is also not irregular. When we accept the rope as the snake, it is to be understood that one has previous experience of the snake. Otherwise, how can one mistake the rope as a snake? Therefore, the conception of the snake is not untrue or unreal. It is the question of application. When, by mistake, we impose our conviction on the rope as being a snake, that is ignorance. But the very idea of the snake is itself, not itself, ignorance. Similarly, when we accept a mirage of water in the desert, there is no question of water being a false concept. Water is a fact, but the application of water in the desert is a mistake. Therefore, this cosmic manifestation is not false, as is stated by Shankara. There is nothing false here. To consider this material manifestation as false is another ignorance. The material or the Mayavadi theory that this world is false is ignorance. The conclusion of Vaishnava philosophy is that this cosmic manifestation is the byproduct of the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Lord. The principal word in the Vedas, Purnav Omkar, is the sound representation of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Omkar should be taken as the sound supreme. Shankara has falsely preached Tattvamasi as the supreme vibration of the Vedas instead of Omkar. Omkar is the reservoir of all the energies of the Supreme Lord. The accent on the word Tattvamasi by Shankara as the supreme vibration of the Vedas is wrong because this word Tattvamasi is a secondary word only. This word suggests only a partial representative of the Vedas. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has in many places given importance to Omkar. The importance of Omkar is mentioned in the 8th chapter, 13th verse, 9th chapter, 17th verse, and 17th chapter, 23rd verse. Similarly, the importance of Omkar is stated in the Atharva Veda. Similarly, we get the importance of Omkar vibration in the Mundukya Upanishad. Srila Jiva Goswami has given great importance to the word Omkar in his Bhagavat Sandarbha. He says, quote, Omkar is the most confidential sound representation of the Supreme Lord, end quote. The sound representation or name of the Supreme Lord is as good as the Supreme Lord. By vibration of such sound as Omkar, or of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one can be delivered from the contamination of this material world, and because such vibrations of transcendental sound can deliver of conditioned soul, it is known as Tarak, or deliverer. The sound vibration of the Supreme Lord is identical with the Supreme Lord. In the Nada Pancharatra, it is also stated that when sound vibration is practiced by the conditioned soul, the Supreme Lord is present on the tongue of such a vibrating person. In the Mundukya Upanishad, the same importance is given, and in that whatever is seen as spiritual, with the addition of Omkar, is perfect spiritual vision. In the spiritual world, or in the spiritual vision, there is nothing except Omkar, or the one alternative, Om. Unfortunately, Shankara has given up this cheap word, Omkar, and he has whimsically accepted Tattvamasi as the supreme vibration of the Vedas. By accepting such a secondary word of the Vedas as Tattvamasi, leaving aside the principal word, Omkar, he has given up the direct interpretation in favor of his own indirect interpretation of the scripture.